We begin the current daf Masechta Sanhedrin daf Chav Tes. Begin 7 lines down at the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah of the halachas of our previous Mishnah, which was discussing those that are invalid to be witnesses or judges. Where Behuda had said, "Oyhev," someone that's a very dear friend, which the Mishnah explains, "Zesh Rishbinoi Bechulu." This refers to someone that is he brings gifts to his friend's chasna, and when he gets married, his friend brings him gifts. And that's considered someone that's possible to say Eidus or be a dayan. So the Gemara says, V'kaman, how long is that he's considered Shush Binoi, which is specifically around the timing of when his friend gets married, that would be considered possible for Eidus and Dayanus. So Amr Baba, Amr Birmi, Amr Rav, it's called Shivas Yimeha Mishta, all the 7 days of what we call as Sheva Brachas, the 7 days of festivities, then he's considered his Oyev, his friend, and it would be possible to say Eidus for him. However, the Rabbanim said the name of Rava, Afilam Yom Rishon Me'elach. Now, even from the first day and onward, from after the day of the Chuppah, from that day on, then the Shishbinus is over with, and he is fit to say testimony. It's not for the entire Sheva Brachas, and he's not anymore the halacha of an Oyhev to be forbidden to say testimony or to be a judge for him. Now, the second item Rabbi Yehuda said was Hasayni, so to the enemy, culturally, Dibur V'chulu, as if he didn't speak to him for 3 days' time, he's considered enemy, and then he's also forbidden to be an aide or a dying friend. So the Gemara explains, Tarban, when the Brice, the Pasuk B'Midbar says, V'huloi oyev loy. Now this Pasuk is in the context of somebody that killed somebody else by mistake, and the literal translation of the Pasuk is that V'huloi oyev loy wasn't an enemy to him, V'huloi mevakash ra'asa, he didn't mean anything bad to him. So that's what the Pasuk says. So then that one who killed by mistake has to go into Gullus. But the Brice expounds this word, Behula Oyevloi, that he's not an enemy to him, is Yudeno. Then he could testify. In other words, the Brice is learning the word Vuhu and him is going on the witness. That he testified that this person killed someone else by mistake and he's chayved Gullus to go into exile. That's the Pasuk saying that the witness is Loy Oyevloi. He's not an enemy to the one who killed by mistake. Because, as Rashi explains, the Brice is learning, if the Pasuk was going into literal translation, it sounds like that it's going on the one who killed by mistake, but the Pasuk already says many times, as in Dvarim Dalad, that he's not an enemy to him, and we have this many psukim. So what's this redundancy in this Pasuk? It's not talking about the murderer that he didn't do it on purpose, it's actually talking about the witness. The witness is not an enemy to the one who did it, and therefore, then he's able to be a witness to prosecute the one who killed by mistake, that he has to go into exile. And so too, when the Pasuk says, V'lo mevakesh ra'asa, and he's not seeking his evil, yidinenu, then he could go ahead and judge him. Because near that, the Pasuk says, V'shaftu ha'eda, that the assembly should judge, which Rabbi Hud is learning that that's going back on the words, mevakesh ra'asa, that the judges are not seeking to do bad for him, then he could judge. So therefore, says the Gemara, Ashkechan Sayni, so this is the source from the Pesukim that we find that an enemy is not able to be a witness or to be a judge. But Oyev Minon, as the Gemara, how do we know the other halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, that someone that's a dear friend is also possible to be a dayan or to be an aide? So that says the Gemara, Karabe Hachi, so you should read over here in the Pasig, when it says, V'hula Oyev Loi, that is not an enemy to him, V'loi Oyev Loi, that is not a dear friend to him. Then, Yidenu, then he could testify for him. And when the Pasig says, V'loi Mevakesh Ra'asa, and he's not seeking any bad to him, and also V'loi Tevase, and if he's not seeking any good for him, meaning he's not a dear friend, then you didn't, and then you could judge him. On that, the Gemara asks, Midi Oyev, what does that mean? Does it say over here in the Pasig, a friend? It doesn't say Oyev, it says Oyev. It's talking about V'loi Mevakesh Ra'asa, and not Tevase. So how do you see it from here? The psul of a dear friend. El Rather says, the Gemara Svaru. It's actually logic. Oyev, my taimo, what's the fundamental reason of the Pasuk? Why is it disqualifying an enemy? Mishum demerach gedaiti, because he's very far away from him in closeness, meaning he's going to try to find fault with him because he's biased towards one extreme. Oyev nami mekarvedaiti, so that's the same logic for a dear friend that he's too close to him and he's biased the other way. And that's why it's not going to be a fair testimony or judgment, so that we understand, just like an enemy is too far one end, a love of a friend is too close on the other one, and that's why he's possible. Now the Gemara says, but Rabbanon, according to Rabbanon, who they disagree with this halacha of the Mishnah according from Rabbi Yehuda, and they say that an enemy and a friend, Jewish people not suspect to lie as witnesses because of that, and they are kosher. So how do they expound the pasuk, as we said, for the literal translation that's going on the murderer by mistake, that we have many other pasukim for. And they can't be learning that it's going on the aid, because they hold actually the enemy as an aid is kosher. So what's it going on? Says the Gemara, Chad L'dayan. So one of these two terms, one is coming to tell us regarding the judge, because actually regarding a judge, the Rabbanan do agree that an enemy cannot judge his enemy, because he's not going to be able to see any favor for that defendant. They just disagree regarding, as in our Mishnah, of being a witness. There they hold a witness, he's not going to lie, but to be a judge, to be impartial, that they're not going to be able to do. And Idach, the other term, comes to disqualify regarding one court case, when you have two judges who hate each other, that that's not valid. Because it's kind of like learning the Braisa, I'm Rabbi Yisrael, Rabbi Huda, the Pasuk says, that he's not an enemy to him, and he doesn't seek his bad. Mikan, what this comes to teach, and that's from, we learned that from one of these other terms, if you have two Talmudic scholars that hate each other, they cannot sit in the same court together as one, that we see that they cannot be seeking the bad of the other one. They have to be at least friendly. They can't be enemies. That's what we learned from it. But the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Huda regarding Eidus, regarding testimony. They hold that an Oyev and an Oyev are kosher to say Eidus. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnah, is discussing the laws of Edom, of witnesses. So it says the Mishnah, Ketzed Boy Kemesa Edom, how do we inspect witnesses to verify the validity of what they're saying? Says the Mishnah, Hoyimachnisen Oysel Lecheder. So what they would do is they would bring the witnesses into the room, into the chambers, Uma'aymen Alein, and they would intimidate them, which this will be explained in the Gemara, what they would do. Umitzinis Kalodim Chutz, and then they would send everybody outside. And the greatest of the witnesses, they would keep inside. And they would tell him as follows. Now they have him alone, and they would check. Amar, say, how do you know that this guy owes this guy money, which is what you're testifying? Im Amar, if he says that who, that the borrower Amar Lee said to me, Shani Chayiv, that I owe this lender money, or Ish Plaini Amar Lee Shu Chayiv, or someone else told me that he owes him money, says the Mishnah, then loyim uklum. He hasn't said anything, because it's very normal for a person to say, oh, that guy is trying to collect money from me, and it's only because he doesn't want people to think that he's so wealthy. He say, oh yeah, I owe this guy money, but it's not a real admission. So therefore, even if it was that the guy said, I owe this guy money, that's not valid to prove that he owes him money. Until the witness would say, b'feneinu hoidelo, in front of us, he admitted to him, which is that you have to have the both of them, that it was in front of both of them, and his intention was for an admission, to be witnesses for this admission, that he said that he brought two people, says, come over here. See this guy, I owe him 200 zuz? Oh, that is evidently as an admission, which is in front of two witnesses. If that's what he says what happened, then that's something that is valid. So after they finish with the greatest of the witnesses. So then they bring in the second witness and they inspect him. If they find that the words are exacting, when they check that both of them separately, they're coming out with the same claim, then so we believe the witnesses now. And now the court starts discussing the court case. If two of the three judges say that he's not guilty, another one says he is guilty, so Zaka is not guilty, because as the pasuk says, you go after the majority. Let's say two say he is guilty and one says he's not guilty, so then he's guilty. But let's say one says he's guilty, one says he's not guilty. Or even if, let's say, two out of three judges say either that he is guilty or he's not guilty, and the third judge says, I don't know. Yisifa hadayan, we have to add on to the amount of the judges. Meaning, even though if this, whatever he would say, this third judge, it doesn't make a difference, because he would anyways be the minority, and we would anyways go based on those two other judges who, let's say, saying he's not guilty. However, when he says, I don't know, it's like he didn't even sit on the court case. So it comes out that the verdict was decided with two judges, and we need three judges. So if he says, I don't know, we have to automatically add on more judges, which we explained in the previous Mishnah, how that procession would go up until what numbers we would do it. Now, says the Mishnah, so Gomer Sadav, when they would finally conclude the deliberations of the judges, Hayimachnisen Eisen, then they would bring in the litigants, the Balidinen, which Gomer is going to ask, what do you mean bring them in? When did they ever leave to be brought back in? But they would bring them back in, and Hagadol Shabadiyan Eimer, the greatest of the judges, would say, he would hand down the verdict, Ish Pleinat Zaka, you are not guilty, Ish Pleinat Chayev, you are guilty. Now concludes the Mishnah, Menayin, and how do we know the Kshayetze Loyomer, that when he leaves, that the when the judge leaves, that he shouldn't say, look, Ani Mazaka, I held that you weren't guilty. V'chaver mechayavim, but my friends on the court, they held that you were guilty. Aval ma'aseh, but what could I do, shechaver rabulai, that my colleagues were the majority and they outnumbered me. How do we know that a person is not supposed to say that? Because al zeh nemar, it's regarding this, that it says that mayikra leiselech rachel me'achamecha, you should not be a rachel, someone that says over words in your people, because v'ayim, as the pasuk says in Mishlei, what's a hoylech rachel? Someone that's going and is a gossip monger is a megalosite, someone that reveals the secrets. This is the liberation that's only meant for the courts. Someone to come out and start saying what was behind closed doors is inappropriate. You're not supposed to say that, oh, I said that you're not and they said that you are. That's not supposed to be done. Now the Gemara asks, Heichi amrin lehu. What is it that we tell the witnesses, which we said in the Mishnah, that ma'aymin aleim, that we intimidate them? What exactly do we tell them to scare them? So Amar Yehuda, he says, this is what we tell them, quoting a pasuk in Mishlei. Nesiim v'ruach v'geshem ayin. There's clouds, there's wind, but there's no rain. Ish mishal b'mita sheker, a man who prides himself in a false gift. In other words, what they're telling the witnesses is that because of the pride of a false gift, which is you're giving a false gift by saying false testimony for this individual, that will make that the rains will stop. And even if the clouds are cloudy, even if the sky is cloudy with clouds, and there's wind which has all the ingredients to come to make the rain come down, the rain will not come. And that's because of someone that prides himself in the false gifts, that if you say false testimony, it's not going to be rain, there's going to be a drought. So Amar Rava, but Rava said, why does that bother the witnesses if rain's not going to come? But Yachli Lameme, they could tell themselves in their heart, which is like a common parable people would say, Shav Shnei Havakafna, you could have a hunger for 7 years, Va'abava Uman Olechalav, and but on the entryway of someone that knows a craft, that's a professional, that knows how to do work, so then the hunger will not pass by over him. In other words, like they say, Megib Tzachanaitze in Yiddish, which is, you'll figure things out. If someone has a way to make money, he'll make it, even if there's a hunger, so they're not going to be scared off from the fact that it's not going to be rain. So Elo Merava, rather Rava says, Amin Lehu, we tell them something else, which is actually a pasuk later on over there. It says, Mefitz, a club, v'cherv, a sword, v'cheid shonon, and a sharp arrow, which are all these things that cause destruction, ish unibiri ehu eid sheker, is a man who says for his friend false testimony, which essentially the pasuk is saying is because of false testimony that there comes a plague, and therefore they're trying to intimidate them that they might die. However, Amar Rav Ashi asked on that too. He says, Yachle Meme, they could tell themselves, another common parable, Sheheb Shnei Hava Maisana, there could be a plague for 7 years, but the Inish B'lei Shnei Leishachav, a man doesn't die if it's not his time yet. And therefore they're not afraid, let there be that there's going to be death, but I'm not going to die. So it's still not intimidating them. So Elam Ravashi, rather, Ravashi says that Amali Nasan Bar Mazutra, that Amrin Lahu, we tell the witnesses that Sahadi Shakri, false witnesses, Ugrayazili. Even the ones who hire them, they're degraded in their eyes, even themselves. So you think you're doing such a great thing, the guy's hiring you. The ones who are hiring you think you're low lives. And that scares them off. Because the Chassidic, it says, the Pasuk Melachim Aleph, it says, Vayishivu Shnayim Anoshim B'nei Belial Negdoi, that they appointed two people that were lowlives, people that throw off the yoke opposite him, which is in referring to Navas HaYisraeli, with the king's officers had told him an idea how they can kill him so that they can get his field that they really wanted to, that they should hire these B'nei Belial, which you see that even they who hiring them call them these low life terms, but you do hulaimer, and that they should testify saying, Pirachta Elikim Bamelech, that you cursed God and the king. So therefore that's just a way of a ploy of trying to get rid of him and killing him. But we see that even the ones who hired the false witnesses were calling them a derogatory term, saying, you think you think you're so great, you think you're doing such a favor, the people who are hiring you think you're low lives. And that's the way that we've been aiming them and having them think and say, you know, what am I doing over here? And get them to say the truth, that what they're saying is really false and that it shouldn't be a false judgment. Now, the Mishnah said that if the witness says, Hu Amar li b'chulu, he said to me himself that he owes that person money, that's not valid. At sheyemru b'fenenu, until he said in front of us, which sounds like who's us, that because he had appointed witnesses to hear and to be present when he makes his admission, that that he admitted to him in front of the, let's say, the lender, that he owes him 200 zuz. Now says the Gemara, Masayel Rabbi Huda, this halacha of the Mishnah supports that which Rabbi Huda had said, because I'm Rabbi Huda Marav, Tzarech Shigemer Atem Eidai, the one who's making an admission that's being reported by two witnesses, has to say beforehand to the witnesses, you are my witnesses. Because if not, even though he's admitting, he's not saying it with the intention of it being an admission. And could be, as we'll see later on in the Gemara, he's just saying, Meshata Nimbach, I was just joking around with you. But to, for it to be considered a valid admission to be verified in court by the witnesses, it has to be that he tells them beforehand, you are my witnesses. Says the Gemara, Itma Name Soto, we learned. Amr B'chir B'Rabba, Amr B'yechanan. If someone says to the other person, Mana li b'yatcha, a mana, 100 zuz of mine is by you, meaning you owe me money. Amr Lehen, the guy says, yes. Lamachar amaloi tineuli, so next day, meaning at a later point in time, he says, okay, give me the money you owe me. Amar meshati nibach, says, I don't know, owe you any money. Oh, you mean yesterday when you said I owe you money, I said yes? I was just kidding around with you. Says Rabbi Yechanan Potter, he's exempt. And even if yesterday, when he admitted the witnesses were there and heard him say, I owe you, since he never said, atem edai, that you guys are my witnesses, he doesn't owe him. He could say, I was just joking around with you. Tanam halacha, similar in the Braisa, mana li b'yatcha. If someone says, a mana of mine is by you, and amalei hen, he says, yes. Lamach amalei tenei, tomorrow he says, give it to me. Amalei meshati mach, he says, I was just kidding around with you, and because you asked me something that was retarded, why are you asking me, I owe you money? Yeah, okay, I owe you money, right. And therefore, I was just saying yes, but I don't really owe you money. Patri, he's exempt. Beloyoy, not only that, says the Braisa, ela afila hichmin loy eid machari geder, even if the lender had concealed witnesses behind the wall, and he said where he wanted it to be an earshot that the witnesses could hear because he wanted to trap this guy because he really owes him, he claims he owes him money. And he says, you know, the $100 that you have of mine. So the guy says, yes, I have $100 of your dollars. He says, do you want to admit in front of these two individuals where they're not around? Amalai, he says to him, I'm afraid to admit in front of two people. Maybe you're going to force me in judgment then if you have two witnesses. So, Lamachar, Amalai Tineuli. So the next day, since the guy admitted he just didn't want to admit in front of witnesses, he says, okay, give me the money. Amalai Meshati Nibach, he says, I was just kidding around with you. Pater, he is exempt. So even though witnesses overheard this conversation, since he never said Etam Atam Eidai, he's going to be exempt. And concludes the Brice of Ein Toyin and Lamesis. We do not make claims for an inciter, for someone that tries to incite his friend to worship idols. The court does not claim for him a way of protecting him, of exempting him, of trying to defend him. Only if he makes a claim himself could he defend himself in the court of law. But if not, the court's not going to make a claim for him. Now the Gemara asks, Mesis man de karshmei, where did this come in the halacha of a Mesis who tries getting people to do avodah zarah, that he gets killed? Where does that come in over here in the discussion we're talking about regarding someone that makes an admission regarding a court claim? So, and that says, Gemara, Chasur Mechzer Bach HaKetan, that word's missing the Braisa, and this is what it's supposed to say. Im Loitan, so we said that the guy says, I was joking around with you, and he's exempt. But if he does not make the claim that I was joking around with you when I admitted yesterday, he just says, no, I'm not going to give it to you. Bring witnesses that I borrowed from you. And that says the Braisa, that's the words where it's missing, that ain't Toinen Loi. We do not make the claim for that borrower. Rather, we tell him, no, since you admitted, then you have to go ahead and pay. If you're saying that you were joking, fine. But if you're not saying you were joking, then you have to go ahead and pay. And since he's not making the claim, we don't make the claim for him. But a bedin in the fashas, regarding capital punishment, if let's say there is a claim that this guy could win to get off being executed, but he doesn't know the claim to make it, avagav delay toin toinen lay. Even if he does not make the claim, the court makes the claim for him to get him off the hook. Now, however, and that's what the Braisa was concluding, but ain't trying in Lamesis. But we do not make a claim for the one who is the insider. If he would make the claim, he would get off. But he doesn't know it. The court does not make it for him. So that's the connection where we're saying regarding if he could make the claim of Shata Nibach. But if he doesn't, we don't make it for him. But with Din Nefashis, we do. But by Mesis, although that is a Din Nefashis, he's going to be executed, there we don't make it for him. So the Gemara is Maishna Mesis. Why is the halacha of someone who tried getting people to do what they deserve different than any of the other death penalties where we make the claim for him and here we don't? So I'm Rebbe Chama Rechanin, he says, Mipirkid Rebchir Bar Abba Shmili. I heard this from the drasha of Rebchir Bar Abba, that Shani Mesis, someone that tries instigating people to do what they deserve, is different. because Rachman Am, the Torah says regarding him in Devarim, Leisachmal, do not have mercy, but do not protect over him. He's an individual. We do not try finding any merit to him. We want him executed. Now, Amr Bishmul ben Nachman, Amr Bienesin, he says, and actually, where do we know historically from the Torah that we do not make a claim for someone that tried getting someone to go against HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Going all the way back, the first story of the primordial snake that was a Mesis tried getting Adam and Chava to go against and rebel against the word of Hashem. Because the Amr Bsimlai, there were actually a lot of claims the snake could have made, which he didn't make, which could have defended him in regards to the punishment he was getting for what he had caused Adam and Chava to do to eat from the Eitz HaDaas. So why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu make the claim for him? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, so to speak, the judge, and the judge has to find bitayna for the defendant. Because the snake did not make the claim himself, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't make it for him because he was a Mesis and you don't make a claim for the Mesis. So the Gemara asks, what were the claims that the snake could have made to defend himself? Because he could have said, Divri HaRava, Divri HaTalmud, this is one of the classic Talmudic dictums, but it's being used in the context over here, the words of the master and the words of the student, meaning Hashem said not to eat from it. I, the snake, said yes to eat from it. Divri Mishayim, who did he listen to, the master or the student? Hashem was the creator and I'm a created. Divri Rav Shem, and you hear that you listen to the words of the master, so therefore, why should I get punished? Why should they have listened to me? They should have listened to the words of the master, and that's a claim he could have made, which he did not make, but Hashem did not make it for him because he was a Mesis. Now, related to the discussion of that incident with the Eitz HaDaas, Amar Chizki says, Minayin Shekol HaMoisev Gareh, from where do we know that whoever adds more than what should be is actually diminishing? Shnem, like it says a pasuk over there, that it says the Chavit said to the snake that, no, Amar Alekim, God said, Lo yisoich l'mimenu, you're not allowed to eat from this tree. But Leitigubo, you're not allowed to touch it. Now the truth is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not warn regarding touching the Eitz HaDaas from the tree of knowledge. And since Chava added on to the prohibition by saying that you can't even touch it, it actually made it worse. Because what ended up happening was that the snake pushed Chava onto the tree until she touched it, and he says, look, you touched the tree, you didn't die. So it must be that even if you would eat it, you wouldn't die. And because she added on to what wasn't, it actually took away and thus led to the eating of the Eitz HaDaas, which caused death to the world. Rav Meshar Shem Mahochi brings a different source, a pasuk in Shemais, that says, Amasayim Mechatzi Arka. It's talking about the measurements of the Arin and the Beis HaMikdash. So its length was 2.5 Amas. Now, the extra letter Aleph of Amasayim, that adding on is actually taking away. Because if you wouldn't have that Aleph, you would read it Masayim, which is 200 Amma. And the reason why, although it's Mem, Sof, Yod, and the Mem, is because all the letters in the Torah, their pronunciation is how it's written. Like Vasisa, Vamarta, it's as if there was a hey over there. So to Aisa, without a Vav, is read Aisa, as if it had a Vav over there. So to Masayim would be read as 200, adding on the Aleph. You think you're adding more? It's actually taking away. It takes it down from 200 to 2. That's another interpretation of Ashi. I mean, he brings a different pasuk in Shemais that says Ashti Esther Yerias, also regarding the Mishkan, that there were 11 Yerias curtains that were used of the covering of the Mishkan. Now, the extra ayin actually makes it less, because if you wouldn't have the ayin, it would be read as Shtei Esrei, which would be 12. With the ayin, the word Eshtei Esrei actually means 11. So you see this concept, you do more than should be, it's actually making it less. Now, going back to the halachas we were talking about before regarding the admissions that someone had made, as we said, it's only valid if he said it to two people and said, you should be the witnesses. If not, we said he could just say, oh, I know I admitted, but I was joking around with you. So Amar Abaye says, Leishanu el da'amah mishat enibach. But we only said this that he could back out of the admission he had made if he did not make it specifically in front of two witnesses to say Atam Eidai. That's el da'amah mishat enibach. That's only, however, if when he's retracting, saying, oh, because I was just kidding around with you. But if he says, as a continuum base, Lahoy Dvarmi Ailam, he totally denies what happened. He says, no, Lahadam, what's the acronym of Lahoy Dvarmi Ailam, Lahadam, I never admitted to you. And witnesses did hear, they were behind the wall and they heard him admit. Then says Abai, Hochzekaf, and then he's established to be a liar. And then he wouldn't even be believed with an oath if he would deny and say, oh, I was just joking around with you, I'll swear that I was just joking. He can't, because he was already established to be a liar, because he did admit. Although he didn't have to, and he could even just say, I was joking, get away with it. But now he's saying, oh, I never admitted. you're a liar, and now we don't believe him, and the witnesses who heard that he did admit would require him to have to pay up. Now, however, Amar Papa Bereder of Acha Bar Ada, he says, no, Hocha Amrin Mishmei de Rava. Rava disagrees. Rava said, Kol Mili Dichdi, anything that is not significant, and which is not something that's so important, and since this admission that he had made, which was he thought was ridiculous because it was one big joke, I owe you $100, yeah, okay, I owe you $100. Loi dechiri hinchi, a person does not recall it. And therefore, he's not considered a hochzeit kafen. He simply forgot that admission. You want me to remember every shtus that comes my way? I don't remember. Oh, I remember. Oh, you're talking about like that? No, I was just kidding around. In other words, says Rava that he's not considered a hochzeit kafen. If he would want to now say that mishata nibach, the fact that he said it never happened was because he didn't recall, and he is believed. Now, the Gemara brings incidents regarding these halachas. Ahuda Achman le'edim l'chavir b'chilse. It was an individual that concealed witnesses for his colleague, for his friend, hiding behind the curtains that are the canopy of the bed. He had them hiding there in the bed. I mean, it was in the bedroom where people are sleeping, and he hid two witnesses behind the curtain of a bed. And Amalei, he said to his friend, Man li b'yadcha. There's 100 zuz of mine by you, right? You owe me 100 zuz. Amalei, and he said, yes. So Amar, he said, Iri v'shachvi l'havaloch sahadi? Should those who are sleeping and those who are awake be the witnesses for this? In other words, do you want that whoever hears should be able to testify whether they're awake or whether they're sleeping? Now, because he knew regarding this defendant, this borrower, that he's not going to admit in front of witnesses. So he said to himself, maybe he's going to think everyone's sleeping. Because he looked around, everyone's sleeping, really had two witnesses hiding right behind the curtain right next to them. And he's saying, okay, but whoever's up or awake, you want them to be witnesses? And he's going to think everyone's sleeping. He'll say yes. However, Amalei Lai, he said no. So Amrav Kahane says, Ha Amalei Lai. So he said no. So there's no, if he would have said yes, even though he wouldn't have known, it would be like Atam Eidai. But here, since he said no, so the witnesses, even though they heard him admit, it's not valid, as we said before. So too, similarly, Ahuda Achman Eidim Bekivra Lechavit. There was someone who concealed witnesses in a grave for his friend. They were near a cemetery, and he had them hiding in a grave. Amalei, Man Li Biyatri, says, you owe me 100 zuz. Amalei Han, he says, yes, of course, I owe you money. So he said, Chaye umisi lahavaloch sahadi, could the living and the dead be witnesses against you? Meaning he didn't see anyone here, so only dead people. So he's saying like in a joking way, but he says, should the living and the dead testify that you owe me the money? And he really, because he had two living people hiding right over there in the grave, Amalei Lai, he said no. So again, Rabbi Shimon, he says, Amalei Lai, he said no, that doesn't help. Again, if he would have said yes, that would be like Atam Eidai, and then he'd be able to testify. But here, since he said no, it's not valid for them to be able to make him pay up that money. Amravina, Vitam, and Samsir Papa, Shmamin Maho, what we can infer from this incidence of this halacha, that Hodam Rabbi Huda Merav, that Sach Shema Atam Eidai, this halacha that we've been mentioning, that Rabbi Huda said that the guilty party has to tell in his admission that you are my witnesses, that Loish no ki amalayva, it doesn't make a difference if it has to be the borrower himself saying this. And neither does it make a difference if it's the lender who says, hey guys, listen up, you be my witnesses. And the borrower is silent and doesn't deny that. Because time adam alay v'alay, in these stories that we just mentioned, it's only because the borrower says, no, I'm not willing. Had he been silent when he says, okay, but the living and the dead, the sleeping and the awake, that there'll be witnesses regarding that. Had he not said no, it sounds like from the stories that then he would have been liable, which it would have been the same as if he said Atam Eidai, that yes, the living and the dead, or the sleeping and the awake, it's only because he said no. But again, if he didn't say no, it's not only if he says Atam Eidai, it's even if the malva, if the lender says Atam Eidai, and the borrower doesn't say no. Mar brings another story, Ahuda Bakara Le Kavrishu, there was a certain individual that they called him, the one that there's a kav full of documents against him, and he owes everybody money. So Amar, he said in the way to defend himself, what he said, man masik bi, he says, who's trying to collect money from me? I don't owe money to anyone. El plenty, plenty, only that guy and that guy. But what are you talking about? It's not true, the word that's around, that I owe everyone money. Now, asu tavula dini kamidra of Nachman. So those individuals who he had said that he does owe money to, they came to claim money from him in front of Rav Nachman. So Amram Nachman, he said, no. Adam Asoy, a person is wont to do, he'll tell people that I owe money to that and that people so that he should distance himself from the evil eye where people shouldn't be jealous of him. Because Shalayla has to be atzmai, not to satiate himself. Another, that he shouldn't look like that he's satiated with money, that look at this guy, so much money. So he doesn't want people to be jealous of him. He says, oh, I owe this guy money, I owe this guy money. Okay, he's not so wealthy as we think he is. But really, he doesn't owe them. And therefore, it says Rav Nachman, that's not considered a valid admission. He was just saying it as a way to get off attention from himself, but not necessarily that he owes these people money, and he doesn't have to pay them that amount. Similarly, Ahu Da'ava Karol Lei, Achbara D'Shachav Adinru. There's a certain individual that he was called by people, the mouse that sleeps, that lays on a pile of coins of golden dinarim. In other words, essentially they were saying that he's a wealthy person that doesn't even have benefit from his money, doesn't even use it, like a mouse that sleeps on a pile of golden coins who also doesn't benefit and have hana from it. Now, Kikoshachav Amabo, when he was passing away, he said, Planyu planya masko bizuzi. That person and that person are collecting from me money. In other words, I owe them money. Now, Basu the Shachar, after he passed away, so asu tavinu liyarshin. So those people that he had admitted that he owes money to came to collect those monies from the inheritors. So asu kamed Reb Shmuel Bar Yisi came in front of Reb Shmuel Bar Yisi. So Amalu, he said to them, Ki amrinan adam asu shloi las bias asme. When did we say that a person's admission when he's wealthy is not necessarily valid because he just doesn't want himself to look satiated in front of people? Hanemile mechayim. That's only when a person's alive. He doesn't want the ayin ahara on him. But a person is dead, there's no problem with the ayin hara anymore, and therefore it is a valid admission for after his death, and therefore these people could collect from the yarshin. So par palga, the estate paid off half. They didn't pay all of it, but they paid up half of what was said to be owed to these people. Now tavinu ladina leidich palga, but then they brought the claim back again to court to collect the other half, and this time aslo kamid Reb Chiya. This time they came in front of a different judge, in front of a different rav, in front of Reb Chiya. So amalahu, he said to them, no. He disagreed with the ruling of Rabbi Shmuel. He says, "Kashem sha adam asir shloi las bias asme." Just like a person would satiate himself regarding himself, kach adam shloi las bias banim. So the person would want that his children should not be satiated. He doesn't want them or others to think that they're wealthy either. And therefore, even for the kids after his death, don't have to pay up. It's not considered a valid admission. He was just doing it to take the ayin hara away from them. So amulei. So they said to him, to Reb Chiya, so, Nezel v'nahada, do we have to go now and pay back the half that we had already collected? Because based on your logic, we had taken that inappropriately. So, Amalhu, he said to them, no, kva hayra zakin, the elder Rabbi Shmuel, already had paskin, based on his psak, on his ruling, you already accepted half. So, I'm not going to disagree with what he already did. What was already done is done, that you could keep. But regarding the other half that you want to collect, I disagree. I hold that even for the children, it's shalei las bias banav, that they shouldn't feel like, oh, they're so wealthy that they should think, oh, we don't have so much money, because Tati said that he owes that guy money, owes that money. But really, it's not necessarily owed, and therefore, that's not going to be a valid admission, and therefore, you cannot collect at least the other half. Now, continuing on this theme regarding a person's admission, how much goes into that, which we were talking about before, is it a valid admission? Does it have to have atam edai? The Gemara continues on that theme and says, hoyde b'fnei shnayim. If a person admits in front of two people, in front of two witnesses, so it's a valid admission. But moreover, they even make a kinyan from him to finalize through an act of acquisition that he does owe this person money. Then the halacha is kaisvin. So automatically, then the witnesses could write a document of admission, even if he didn't tell them to write it. Because generally, we assume when there is an act of acquisition, it's being done with the intention that that's going to be written down in the document. But if there was no kinyan done, then in kaisvin, then the witnesses are not allowed to write a document, because even though he told them, Atam Eda, you're my witnesses, and therefore, as we said before, then therefore he has to pay that guy the money, even so, he prefers that it be an oral loan than a written loan in the document, because there's certain obligations that only come as a milvah b'shtar, and that's a higher level of obligation. He doesn't necessarily want that. So if he says, if he makes a kinyan, then they write, but if no kinyan, then they can't write it. Now, let's say, b'fnei shleisha, let's say he admitted he owes this person money in front of three people, where that's like making them into a court, where there a court could do whatever they want with a person's money based on the halachic principle if they see fit of hefker, bezen, hefker, then they could change it, and even if it wasn't said to write it, there wasn't necessarily a kinyan, but they could turn it into a milvah b'shtar, they could create an oral loan into a written loan in the document, and they could take the place of the borrower to make an agent to go ahead and write a document. So that's what the question is. If he admitted in front of three people, but l'ikonam yodin, there wasn't an act of acquisition, so we have a machlekes. Rava Makaisman, he says, okay, so then they could go ahead and write it. Ravasi Yama Inkaisman, he says, no, we cannot write it. Rav says that they're a bezin, and he admitted in front of them. So a court could write a documentation to say that this guy owes money. Whereas Rav Asi said, no, since no kinyan was done, even though he admitted in front of three people, you cannot write a document to turn it from a milva alpen to a milva bishtar. Meaning, because his admission is that he's obligated, but not necessarily that he wants it written in the documentation. I think Gemara tells Hava Uvda that there was an incident of this story where someone admitted in front of three people without doing a kinyan. V'chosh lo Rav lohadir Rav Asi, and Rav, although he disagreed, he said that you're right. He was concerned with the opinion of Rav Asi, and he did not let them write a documentation, even though it was in front of three people. Now, Amar Rav Ada Bar Hava, he actually says somewhere in the middle. He says, Ha'aydisa, this document of Haidah, which again, as we said, if it was done in front of three people, that no kinyan was done, Zimnan Kesvinan, sometimes he says we write, V'zimnan Lekesvinan, sometimes we don't write. So what's this middle opinion? He says as follows. If Kenifi V'yasvi, if the three people were already sitting, and he sees these three people sitting, and he comes in front of them, and he admits in front of them, and he says, hey, I owe this guy $200, since he didn't gather them together, they're not necessarily a court. Rather, they're witnesses, because maybe, even if they would have been only two people, he would have admitted in front of them, and he wasn't intending to make them into a court, that it should have the admission as if in front of a court, which would thus make it that they could write it into a documentation. So there, in that case, like Hezvina, there we cannot write it. But Kamfinu Ihu, if he gathered three people, then Kesvinan, then we do write it automatically in the document, because from the fact that he gathered three, why? He could have just gathered two, which is valid testimony. Must be because he intended for them to be a court. If they're a court, they automatically can write documentation. Now Rav Amar, he says, however, no, afili kanfinu ihu, even if he gathered three people, loikezvin, we cannot write it, ada amalahu heva lai daini, until he tells them explicitly, I want you to be my judges, then he's making them into a court, and then they can write it. Marbar of Ashram, he says, no, even more than that, he says, afili amah heva lai daini, he says, even if he says, I want you to be my judges, loikezvin, we do not write it automatically, ad, until a higher level, di kavi duchta, until the judges establish their place where they're sitting the way judges usually sit, and v'shalchi, moreover, that they send an agent in their name to the borrower, umizamni le lebedina, and then they summon him to court to come to this court case, and there he admits, since they're sitting in judgment, then that's something that's made like a loan that's written in the document, because since it's revealed to everybody, then they could go ahead and write it in the documentation. Continues the Gemara. Haidib bimetatli. If let's say this person admitted that he owes a movable item to the lender, and they make a kinyan on that admission, they do like a chalip, and you do some type of, yeah, I definitely owe, and he finalized an acquisition on that, then kaisvin, then automatically we write. But vimlav, if not, in kaisvin, if there was no kinyan done, then we do not write automatically a documentation. Now, ask the Gemara, but bimekarkoi, let's say regarding land, that it was muhsik, it was under the presumption that it was Reuven's. But he admits to Shimon that it's really Shimon's. But although he admits, but no kinyan was done, what would the halacha be in that case? Meaning, by metatlo, he said that you need a kinyan to be able to automatically write it. What's halacha with karka? So we have a machlekes ameim or amar in kais, and he says that we do not write. Mazutra amar kais, and he says that we do write. It says the Gemara, the halachas a kaisvin. Halacha is that karka is different than metatlin, and we do write. And the reason for that is because since he admitted to the other person that it's his, so there's no lacking of collection, because land, wherever it is, and it automatically is the ones that he admitted it to. In other words, by movable items, where that's referring to a loan, where a loan is mivalaitzon, that when you borrow money, that's what we mean when we say movable item, we mean regarding a loan, that's meant to be used, to be spent. So there's nothing really here substantive that what he's saying, I owe you, that it's that lender. It's just a debt that he owes him. And moreover, an oral loan is worse than a written loan. So therefore, he doesn't want that it should be a stronger debt from an oral loan going up to a written loan. But regarding, and therefore, until he says write, you don't write. If there was no kin, you don't write. But here regarding land, it's nothing. Once he admits, it already reveals that it's that person's, it's automatically his. So, of course, you can write a documentation that it's that person's. Whereas by a loan, you cannot, because it's just a debt. And the debt that's oral is much less than a written, and therefore we don't see necessarily that he wants to upgrade it to a written debt. The Gemara tells the Ravina Iklod le Dimharya. He went to this place, Dimharya. And Omali Rav Dimin bar Rav Huna mi Dimharya le Ravina. So one of the residents there said to Ravina, asking him, let's say, metaltali, alone, v'isnu bainayu, but it's here in front of us at the time that he's admitting. My, what would the halacha be over there? In other words, do we say that since it's piled up and right here in front of us and is admitting, so it's like it's right here and it's automatically the lender's, similar to like karka, which is right here, because karka is always right here. And therefore, in this case, by matatlan, you would automatically write? Or maybe no. Since, as we said, that milvaloitzanetna, a loan was given to be spent, maybe he's going to end up spending it. And he doesn't want to have it upgraded, that there should be a document for that debt. And this case is talking about where he's admitting in front of two witnesses. So would a loan be different if the money is right in front of us or not? So Malay Kimakarkadam, he says, yeah, it's like land, because since the money's right here and he's admitting to it, it's like it's already the lender's, it's like karka, which is automatically that person's, and therefore you do write automatically. Now, Rav Ashi, I mean, he says, no, he disagrees, says, Kivin Machasa Gevaina, since it's lacking collection, because as we said, ultimately, even though the money's right here, but he could go ahead and spend it because that's what a loan is meant for. So then Loi, so therefore that's not going to be like karka, it's going to be like Matatlan, and therefore you don't automatically write. Mark continues regarding these admissions and regarding the writing of these documentations of admissions. Hahioi Disa, regarding this document of admission, which two witnesses were signed on it, Deloi have a kasuba, but the document did not have written on it as follows, that Amalana, that the one who admitted said to us, Kisvu v'chasmu v'havule, write it, sign it, and give it to the one that I admit to. That's not written in the document. So Abai v'Rav Adam Tavai, they both say that's not a problem. Because Hayni de Rish Lakish, this is the same as Rish Lakish's halacha, where the Amr Rish Lakish, he said a similar halacha, chazaka, there's a presumption, that eino eidim chayis min al ashtar, witnesses do not sign on the document, elam kein nasa gadol, unless the seller was an adult, meaning specifically, as the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Kav Nun Vav Min Aleph, that for someone to sell his father's estate, he has to be 20 years old. So we assume, even though it's not written in that, that if the witnesses are signing, that they did it appropriately, which is that the seller was 20 years old. So here also, since two people are not allowed to write a document of admission unless it was given with the permission and the executive orders of the one who is admitting, so therefore, say Abaye v'Rava, we presume that he did tell them. So although it's not written that he told them, just like Rish Lakish says that the witnesses who were signed, we presume they did it in a kosher way, which was that the seller was over 20. Here also, we presume that it was told to them. So even though they didn't write that inside the document, it's still going to be kosher. But Maskevla Rav Papi Vitim, and some says Rav Huna Bar Yeshua asked, but Mika Midida Nan LeYadinin, is it possible that there are laws that us, that we the judges, as many Tamid HaChacham, that are not proficient in this halacha to know that two witnesses that did not make a kinyan, that we do not write it, that it has to be only if there's a kinyan that then they write it, and Vesafri De Beidina Yadi, but that the scribes of the judges will know it? In other words, you're saying that if you have two witnesses sign on the document of admission, we presume that they know that they could only write it if they were told to. Meaning, it's a little problematic because it doesn't say that he told them to. But we're saying it's okay because we know that they know the halacha. And that, Rav Papi asked, we don't necessarily know this halacha, many judges. That it has to be they could only write it if they were told to do that. And what the scribes, who are the one that are making sure that the witnesses are doing a correct document, they do know this. But on that says the Gemara, Sheilinu l'safir d'abaye v'yadi, l'safir d'rav v'yadi. But in spite of that, they did ask the scribes of the court of Abaya, and they knew. And they asked the scribes of the court of Rava, and they knew. So Abaye v'Rava, who said this halacha, they're correct in doing that, because actually their scribes, the ones who made sure that the witnesses who were signing these documents, including the Shtari Tisa, and they did know, and therefore, even if they didn't have the words written that he told us to write and to sign and to give it, it's going to be valid because we presume that, like similar to the halacha b'shlokesh, that they know this halacha and made sure it was done only if they were told to, that there was a kinyan done, and only then do they go ahead and write the shtar adisa.